I'd like to look at three passages. First, in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom ye have crucified, whom God has raised up from among the dead, by him this man stands here before you, sound in body. He is the stone which has been set at naught by you the builders, which is become the cornerstone. And salvation is in none other, for neither is there another name under heaven which given among man by which ye must be saved. And then in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 18, and all things are of the God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of that reconciliation, how that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not reckoning them to them their offenses, and putting in us the word of that reconciliation. We are ambassadors therefore for Christ, God, as it were, beseeching by us. We entreat for Christ, be reconciled to God. Him who knew not sin, he has made sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness in him. But as the fellow workmen, we also beseech that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he says, I have listened to thee in an accepted time, and I have helped thee in a day of salvation. Behold, now is the well accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And finally, can we look at the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 3, verse 21. But now, without law, righteousness of God is manifested, borne witness to by the law and the prophets, righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ, towards all and upon all those who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood, for the showing forth of his righteousness in respect of the passing by the sins that had taken place before, through the forbearance of God, for the showing forth of his righteousness in the present time, so that he should be just and justify him that is of the faith of Jesus. The hymn that we started with spoke of salvation in the name of Jesus. Still proclaimed today, that same salvation that Peter proclaimed when he spoke to these leaders of Israel, where we read, wondrous in my eyes that God should have moved in this way, to make it possible that you and I can enter into this salvation that has been secured by our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the man who God sent here into this scene to deal with the question of sin. God set up man, his creature man, whom he'd made. He set him in the best of conditions, but sin came in. Man broke the covenant that he had with God. There were two simple things he wasn't to do, but he did. And as a result, sin has come upon mankind. And man can do nothing about that. Peter, speaking here in the Acts, this preaching, you might call it, of Peter's, followed from the healing of a man by Peter and John as they went into the temple. And they were being questioned, by what power or in what name have you done this? And Peter starts from there and speaks to them and says that what was done here, known to you all and to all Israel, that in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom ye have crucified, God has raised up from among the dead, by him this man stands here before you, sound in body. Wondrous testimony to the power of Jesus. And Peter presents this to these Israelites. He makes it clear that it was them who had crucified him, for that's what men did. Jesus was here in this scene, sent here of God, came in the form of a man, sin apart. There was no sin in Jesus whatsoever. Sin had no point of contact in Jesus. But he brought to this scene wondrous blessings for men that displayed the heart of God for his creature. God has set his heart on blessing men. And he demonstrated that in Jesus. The way in which Jesus brought out the love of God, we get many examples of it through the Gospels. We get many examples of the compassion of Jesus, the feelings of Jesus in regard to the effect of sin on his people. We think of the widow of Nain, a widow, and her only son had died and was to be buried. And the Lord saw her, and he had compassion on her. He felt for her, and he raised that young man up, gave him back to his mother. Wondrous, compassionate love of God for his creature man, laboring under the effects of sin. Because that's what death is. Death is the penalty for sin. And where we read in Romans, it says that all have sinned. There's no difference. You and I, and each one in this world tonight, is a sinner, has sinned. And God cannot, therefore, have the relationship with man that he wants to have with him because of sin. God is of holier eyes than to behold sin. So with sin on us, there can be no rightful entrance into relationship with God. But because we could do nothing for ourselves, God moved from his own side to make it possible for man and God to be rightly in relationship with each other. And he did that in the sending of Jesus into this scene. Despite all of the compassions of Jesus and the healing that he brought in and the teaching that he gave them, at the end, as Peter makes clear to them, they crucified him. That was man's estimation of Jesus, but it was all in the foreknowledge and counsels of God. That was the way that Jesus would have to go. And we'll come on to that further when we look at Corinthians. But here, Peter says to them that Jesus is the stone which the builders set at naught. And he tells them, salvation is in none other. That's the same tonight. That's the message tonight. Not changed. 2,000 years further on, the same message, salvation is in none other. For neither is there another name given under heaven which is given among men by which we must be saved. He's the only Saviour for sinners. Men try all kinds of things of themselves, or set up other men that they think can save them. But Peter makes it perfectly clear. He is the only one. By virtue of who he is, who can actually save you from your sins. And we must be saved. There is no alternative. God wants us to be saved, and if we don't avail ourselves of the salvation that's offered to us by God through Jesus, we will end up in hell, in eternal punishment. For God is righteous. Sin cannot be overlooked. God must deal with it. But in his marvelous love, his wondrous love, he's moved in grace to make it possible for you and I to be saved. And that came at a tremendous cost. And the apostle in Corinthians speaks about that. Verse 18, where we started, the apostle makes clear that all things are of the God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Nothing is of our own merit. Nothing is anything that we can do to deal with our sin. It's all what God has done. God has made it possible. And he's done it through Jesus. All things are of the God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That's what God has done. I think that's wonderful. That God should, from his own side, move in this way to open up salvation for his creature man. God didn't wait for the day of judgment to deal with sin. He moved to make it possible that sin be dealt with and leave a door open for you and I to escape the consequences of our sins. That's what salvation is. We escape the consequences of our sins. The just judgment of God on what we are. And how is that possible? How could the righteous, holy God do that? And it tells us here, he was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That to me is wonderful also. It's the whole world he's reconciled to himself. That means, my understanding, he's made it possible for the whole world to be saved by what Jesus has done. And that's wondrous. It's towards all. No one need be left out. And he's not reckoning their offences when he came. There were offences and transgressions. He's not reckoning them to man. He's overlooked that, you might say. He hasn't overlooked it. But he's set that aside. He's found a way to take that away from man, so that it no longer need hinder his entry into relationship with God, which God wants. Paul goes on to then speak of having had that word of reconciliation. And Paul was therefore an ambassador. And every preacher today still is an ambassador, beseeching on behalf of Christ. An ambassador is somebody that speaks on behalf of someone else who's not present. And that's the situation with the Lord today. As Peter said, God has raised him from among the dead. But not only has he raised him, he's ascended and seated at God's right hand. But still, the gospel's going out, open to you and I tonight, to accept what God has done through Jesus. And how did he do it? Him who knew not sin, he has made sin for us. You think of for a minute of what that means. Think of Jesus, God's own Son, in whom God was when he was here in the earth. That's what it said. God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself. Jesus, a man, but he was divine. He was God. God was here on the earth in Jesus, working to make it possible for you and I to come into blessing, to be rid of the consequences of our sins. But it required that there had to be a sacrifice for sin. God had to judge sin, and this is how he did it, through making Jesus, his own beloved Son, sin for us. Wondrous, wondrous heart of God. Peter speaks of it as he carried our sins in his body on that tree at Calvary. The work that Jesus did when men crucified him in these 3 hours of darkness, God had made him sin. He'd put our sins, your sins and my sins, upon Jesus. And on him, he poured out his holy, righteous wrath and dealt with the question of sin. Jesus felt that tremendously. It was no light thing for him to offer himself up to be this sacrifice. The enemy brought it before his spirit in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he pleaded with his Father, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He knew perfectly what it was going to cost him. And you think of that cry on the cross, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" God had to forsake because he was made sin. But at the end, he cries with a loud voice, "It is finished. The work is done." God is glorified. The question of sin has been settled eternally. The power of death has been broken. Jesus was raised from among the dead. And the power of sin and death is broken forever. And what God wants, therefore, is for you and I to avail ourselves of this salvation. Because he wants us, as it says here, he made Jesus sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness in him. That's what God wants. God will display his righteousness in regard of sin in all those who've put their faith in Jesus. Wondrous outcome. Consequences of that for you and for me, for the sinner, is entry into all that's in God's heart for his creature. Wondrous blessings. Salvation is the beginning of it. Essential. Important. We couldn't do without it. We would be condemned as sinners and enter into a lost eternity. But tonight, we have the opportunity, each one of us, you and I, to avail ourselves of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. As it was for us, he was made sin. Not for himself. There was no need for Jesus to be there for himself. He went there for you and for me. And as a result of that, God is, his hands are outstretched to bless at the present time. That's what it says in verse 2 of chapter 6. "I have listened in an accepted time. I have helped thee in a day of salvation. Behold, now is the well-accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." It's open to you now. It won't always be open. The day of God's grace will close. Then it will be too late for any who have rejected God's grace and the presentation of Jesus as the only Saviour for sinner. The man that has satisfied him, glorified God in relation to sin. But now is the accepted time. Where I read in Romans, the Apostle Paul again is speaking of this wondrous blessing. God wants has manifested his righteousness, a righteousness that is beyond anything that man can think of as righteousness. And he's manifested it. That work of Jesus on the cross has manifested what God's righteousness is. And because God has been glorified in respect of sin, it's righteous of God to forgive those who put their faith in Jesus. That's what it says. Righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ towards all and upon those who believe. God has dealt with sin and is completely satisfied with that. Therefore, he's looking to you and to me to believe what he's telling us, that he is satisfied with it. And as such, he will be righteous in forgiving the believer in Jesus their sins. It speaks here that he will justify freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth on mercy seat through faith in his blood. That's the way into it. You and I have to recognize that we're sinners, have to recognize that we cannot do anything of ourselves to change that, to be rid of the consequences of our sins. But through the work of Jesus, God has established a way in which he can righteously forgive the man or woman or child that comes to him, acknowledges that they're a sinner, recognizes what that means in the eyes of God, and wants to be rid of it, and recognize through faith that only in Jesus can they be rid of it. And if you come to God in that, with that approach, God must, I speak reverently, he must forgive you because of his righteousness. That's what it says. It's God's righteousness, and he confers that on the one who confesses and puts their faith in Jesus. So that man is then set up as though he had never sinned. That's what justification is. Come into a condition which is as if you had never sinned. And so God and man can be together in peace and in righteousness. And the question of a man's conscience is completely dealt with. God is also light. And in God's presence, everything is laid bare. But the blood of Jesus has dealt with all of that sin that attached to us. And so we can be in the presence of God, restful, enjoy his presence, have intercourse with him. And to us, the believers who put their faith in him, in Jesus, he will open up all that he has in his heart for us. And he will give the gift of his Spirit, who will shed his love abroad in our hearts and open up to us all that he has in his mind for us. That's the glad tidings that's being proclaimed tonight throughout this world, that this tremendous work has been done for God by Jesus and for us by Jesus. That in being made sin for us, he has opened up the way for us to accept him as the one by whom we must be saved, the only one that is available. Turn to him, put your trust in him, accept him as your Saviour. And for those of us who know him, may we have a greater appreciation of what he's done for us and what he is to us. we spoke about this afternoon, the end of the believer's pathway. That he's going to come and take all those who have put their faith in him to be with himself for eternity. Wondrous prospect for the believer. May we all know it and have a greater appreciation of what the Lord has done for us, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.